Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Today, we are going to be answering your calls for a couple of hours, and we want you to call in 1-800-229-3000. You know, a lot of times we talk about, well, not a lot of times, every day we're talking about every man's battle. We're talking about Restore. And, you know, one of the things that we have talked about with these two is that for men, their best day is when they finally get into recovery and they found the freedom and the healing that is available. But for the partner, for the wife, it is devastating. And it is like their worst day. And, you know, how
well, probably for the men, Sunday is their best day, right? Because when they go, Friday is like, oh my gosh, this is the moment of truth. But by Sunday, it's their best day ever. And for women, Becky, may have, you know, found out some things prior to, so they're already dying. And then the man comes home relieved and excited. And then as the truth starts coming out, it's devastating for women.
Right, right. And, you know, we also know this is an issue where resentment can come in and take root. And, you know, it's what Steve says all the time, justifiable resentment. Like, it makes sense that she's mad and she's furious because what has been done to her.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming. But how can we encourage women to continue to find that healing to move forward?
Right. Well, first of all, your feelings are completely valid, right? This person that you love, that is supposed to care for you and support you and be by your side, has been lying to you. But it's not that they're lying to you. They are lying to themselves and they are lying to everyone, but it impacts you the most, right? And so it's really important, though, that you do your own work and healing. And it's not fair. None of it is fair, right? Because he's the one that has done this to the relationship. And you have to then pick yourself up and get some help and work through it as well. So even when we're not the one, in essence, who has sinned, we've been sinned against, we still have to walk that journey. And so I can't think of a better way than to be with other women who really get it. Right. I think we need all levels of help. We need our closest friends who will gather around us and really love us. But we also need people who get it, who aren't trying to rush us in our recovery, who understand that we need to be angry and
Be seen and heard. Because I think a lot of times when this occurs in a woman's life, you think you're the only one.
Yeah.
And you think that this is something that you had some part in, that you, you know, and you may have even been told that. Unfortunately, we do hear that people tell you that, and it's not true.
Right.
And so what we want to do is encourage you to get, you know, forward in your healing. And we've actually got an online webinar. It's free, where you can attend it. Stacy Sadler, who's one of our speakers at Restore, we're going to have it on May 25th at 1 p.m. Central. And in, when you register, we will give you the information. If you go to newlife.com, head to the events tab and click on Restore, you'll have all the information about the workshop, but also the webinar is going to help you understand a little bit more about what we're going to talk about at Restore. Because a lot of times in these situations, it's overwhelming to think that it could be happening to somebody else. You're going to find that you are not the only one, that your feelings are valid, that there is a path to healing and wholeness. And, you know, we've worked with a lot of couples where there's healing. Sometimes that doesn't occur, but either way, you are going to get healing. So we encourage you to join us. We'll be right back answering your calls.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I want to give a welcome to our new listeners on Hope Radio, listening at 93.7 FM in Terre Haute, Indiana, and on 91.5 FM in Casey, Illinois. And, you know, you can call us, too, at 1-800-229-3000. We'll be glad to answer your calls. And we're going to go to the callers. I think J.J. West is also joining us today. J.J., are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, JJ. Hi, JJ. I'm glad you're here. We're going to go to the calls. We're going to talk with Lee, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, and listens on the internet. Hi, Lee. I'm glad you called today. How can we help you?
Hi, good morning. I have a question that's been burning in my heart for many years. When I was 14, I was molested by a teacher. And my life prior to that, you know, I was molested as a little child, and so I felt like you're predisposed to it. You have this advantage of me on the forehead, right?
Yep.
But anyway, so I was about 14. I'm now 59, and I also found out that he molested my friend the next year, a year behind me. She was, but. I want to find out if this guy is still teaching, and so that if he is, I want to make sure that it hasn't, or, well, I'm sure it has, but won't happen anymore. But I just don't know what to do. I've been so fearful. My friend says you're going to be opening up a can of worms. They're going to make you the bad guy. And I did find out, though, that Texas doesn't have a statute of limitations, and so it's just disgusting. And I saw a picture of the teacher the other day. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, Lee, it's terrible. It is all terrible. And we're so sorry that you have had this experience.
Yeah. And Lee, that you have lived with this all your life.
Yeah.
Because now you're how old?
59.
Okay. 59 years old. So why now?
I just see, well, I saw a movie the other day called Trust, and it was about a young girl who met somebody online. He turned out to be, of course, a bad guy, and I don't know. Like I said, I've been thinking about it for the last maybe 5 or so years, but I've been fearful.
Yes.
I've let fear get in the way, and you know, I was so promiscuous in high school, in school.
Of course.
And I understand now that, you know, it wasn't my fault, because, you know, at age 10, you can't tell somebody, oh yeah, I'm in it, but I mean, you're still your child.
Right.
So Lee, are you thinking,
at 14,
Lee, did you say that he's still working?
She doesn't know.
That's what I want to find out.
Okay.
I know somebody who's retired from the police department where it happened in the city, and
So, well, let's talk to Lee about maybe some steps forward. Like, what would it look
Lee,
like for
her? I think it's important, though, because you said you were also molested prior. So there's an ongoing history. And you're right. Once someone has been molested, your reactions then to perpetrators are often one of submission. And so, so that's part of it. You're a prime candidate, and it's like they can sniff you out, and they know the ones that will go along with them, right? I think it's really important that you have a professional walking through this with you. So if you haven't done therapy, or if you have, I think it's important that while you are going to pursue maybe taking some action, you need someone there that you can process with regularly.
Okay.
So that's really important. And to talk about the feelings about it, because you don't want the system to molest you again, right?
Right.
And going into this by yourself, it can be a setup. So having someone talk about the feelings and make decisions along the way. What are you really wanting to do? Does it finally feel like you have a voice and you can say no, you have to stop? You know, all those things can be very productive in healing, but it's really important that you're talking about it along the way.
That's good. JJ, what would you add?
Yeah, I would just add, to build on Jill's point, that it is important that you recognize that your voice matters, that your choice matters, that you have choices mm-hmm. here. There's not one right way to do this. Whether you choose to find the guy, and if he's still teaching, confront and file a charge, or you choose not to do any of that, there's not a right or wrong here. You have a choice. And so you want to make sure that there are people in your life who are honoring that choice. And I think also mm-hmm. to look at what are the potential ramifications for you and those mm-hmm. around you, family members, this other friend, what are the ramifications that you might face so that you go into it as informed as possible. But I don't think that there is a absolute right or wrong whether you pursue and confront or not. It is your choice, and that's the thing that you lost at mm-hmm. 10 and 14 and possibly other places, is that that choice was taken from you. You couldn't have made that choice at that age when an adult was coercing you. Now you have a choice, and we want to make sure that we honor the fact that you have that choice.
Yeah. Right. You know, along that line, though, I would say if he is working, this is a tough call because you don't want him to have access to other people, which, mm-hmm. Lee, you said you knew of a friend that it happened to as well. But that's where what, Jill, you're saying about mm-hmm. having that person with you, Lee, because there can be professionals that mm-hmm. can help you walk through that. And I've had to do that with clients in the past, and mm-hmm. it has been very rewarding because there are people that are really in line of danger, and you just, mm-hmm. you want to make sure that, and I think that's really the reason why you were calling, right, Lee? It's like, what do I do? I'm afraid of all of this.
Yeah.
And I want to do something about this. And then, you know,
right.
you saw
and
the
there
movie
were
and
no,
it triggered that.
Yeah, there were no adults around that saw what was going on and that helped you. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying, because you will have regressive feelings. So you need an adult around you that this time will help you. But Lee, I also would encourage you to talk about the first molestation. Who mm-hmm. is that person? Yeah. You want to go after the teacher, but who is that first person?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was an uncle who passed away.
Okay.
And I think the sad part was he was on the police department. And I told mm-hmm. my mom, when I remembered, I was about 30 years old. Mm. And the Lord told me when I would tell my mom, she wouldn't believe me. And she didn't.
Oh, and I'm so sorry.
I was prepared for it, but it was like, you know. And then I think the other sad part is at that, I mean, it was like I wanted that so-called fake love because I didn't have mm-hmm. it at home. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you fight against that. And mm-hmm. I know my husband was also saying he was thinking that this was vengeance. It's like, no, it doesn't have anything to do with vengeance.
Yeah. No.
I don't feel vengeful. I want to stop other girls.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Being a victim. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, that's my goal, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And at least to find out the information. I mean, maybe maybe someone else turned him in already and he's not working. Maybe he's deceased. There's a lot of unknown here that might be helpful for you.
We are so glad that you called, Lee. That is the first step in, mm-hmm. you know, taking this brave move to healing. We're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, which I think can help you along this way, but we'll also get you connected with a counselor in your area. Jill?
Well, and Lee, we don't have this book, but I think you should check out Dan Allender's Wounded Heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great idea. Great idea. Mm-hmm. Well, we're so glad you called. We're going to continue to the calls. We're taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to talk with Tina, who's calling from Brock, Texas, listens on the app. And you can download the app wherever you get your apps. You'll look for New Life Ministries in the tree, and you can listen to us anytime. Hi, Tina. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. How can we help you?
Okay, so my question is, I'm recently divorced since February. My husband was lying about alcohol, and then he's sending me letters from rehab, but he doesn't state if he wants reconciliation. They're very neutral letters, so I'm kind of lost and don't know what to do. Because when I filed, I did it out of reaction because he went at, MIA for a whole weekend when we had tried to reconcile. So that's kind of my question.
Okay. Well, JJ, how about we start with you?
Okay, so just so I'm clear here, Tina, you said you are divorced. You filed for divorce, and it's already gone through, and you were divorced in February, or you filed in February?
No, we filed in December and then tried to reconcile for a month, and then that happened, and then I filed the final divorce in February, and that's when it was signed off on.
Okay, gotcha. So you're unclear what your ex-husband wants to do. Are you clear what you want to do?
Yes, I would love to reconcile, and I had told him that in a text prior to that, saying if he got help, that's what I wanted to do, and I regretted filing the divorce. But I don't think that was the motivator for him to get help. It was just other things that were going on with him.
Gotcha. Okay, so because you've already made that decision and you've already expressed that desire to him, the ball really is in his court now to respond. And I think it would be important for you not to try and read into his letters, try to decipher between the lines. Let him state specifically and explicitly what his desires are, what his intention is. Is his intention to reconcile, or is his intention to stay divorced? It's important for him to be able to verbalize that to you, as well as for him in the course of his recovery to be able to communicate to you that he knows how he's hurt you, that he's expressed some sorrow for hurting you, and that he wants to make amends. Part of that amends may be to reconcile the marriage, to get remarried. To get back together. But you really want to make sure that he's the one who's expressing that, and you're not putting words in his mouth or trying to read between the lines of a neutral letter.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sorry. Ahead. I was just going to say, he sent me four, and then when my responses are very neutral back, and I just pretty much respond to his, whatever he said in his letter, which some of them are expressing regret over how it went in our marriage.
Mm-hmm. He's saying that, or you're saying that?
He's saying that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Well, Tina, if he is kind of midstream in his rehab program, I think he may not even know yet what he wants. He's still in process, and it may be that he's just sharing thoughts with you as, you know, in the course of things. And so I think I wouldn't latch on to needing a definitive answer right now. Let's see if he completes the program. And then what does he do after that? Because him getting sober, really, he does need to do that, as everybody says, for himself, right? He needs to be on a solid path of recovery before there would be any hope for the two of you. And we don't want you, in a sense, being a distraction from him getting sober. So he needs to deal with that, dial into what is he going to do after rehab to maintain, and then talk about the relationship.
He's due to get out next week, and then I have him blocked on my phone. Obviously, once he told me he was in rehab, I unblocked him. But as far as he knows, he's still blocked on my phone.
Tina,
when he was intoxicated, conflicting messages.
Right.
So, Tina, what kind of support are you getting right now? Because in every person's life, when you have someone who's struggling with addiction, the person who's in that relationship has to deal with the addiction part of it. It's not your addiction, but it's his. And that's probably where the healing for you is going to come into play. You know, I think we'll talk. You can hear the music, Tina. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back to you. But we need to talk about, what do you do when you're in relationship with somebody who's addicted? Because it impacts you in a great way. It impacts the way that you make decisions, the way that you connect with somebody. And I love what both of you have already said, but I think we can talk a little bit more about that after the break, and we'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Tina, whose husband, ex-husband, is now in rehab, struggling mm-hmm. with alcoholism. And before the break, Tina, I was just talking about the fact that you've got your own work to do, because you, it's not to think that he's going to get out, you guys are happy, and you live happily ever after. Probably not going to happen that way. But JJ or Jill, what are some steps that she can do in order to get into her own recovery process?
I wanted to make a comment first. Tina, one of the things with someone who's in recovery is words are nice, but actions are 1,000 times better, right? Mm-hmm. You want to watch their actions. What do they do? And a lot of times people's words and actions don't match. But Tina, I have to say, I think you also struggle with that, with your words and your actions matching, meaning what you want and what you do seem to have been two different things. At times you're impulsive and you got a divorce that you didn't even want, right? And I think that's in reaction to him. So it'd be really important for you to get involved in a recovery program that has to do for spouses or people in relationship with the alcoholic, like Al-Anon or CODA or Life Recovery or Celebrate Recovery. There's lots of programs out there that can help you work on your reactivity to him. Because you don't want to be the tail end of his kite where you're just mm-hmm. reacting to everything he does. You want to be clear and solid in what you want, and you want your words and actions to match.
Yeah, that's very good. JJ, would you add anything? Oh, can't hear JJ. We'll see if we can get him
Sorry
back.
About that.
Tina,
oh, there he is.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
I was saying such profound truth. And
we lost who knows, it.
Who knows where it'll go now? So, Tina, I would just add, well, I would echo, yes, join a good group that's going to support you. And it's going to ask you some tough questions to wrestle with, because anytime you're in a relationship with an addict, it's tough. Mm-hmm. And there's some things that you do need to work on. I applaud the fact that you're wanting to keep moving forward, and I do. I'm amazed at the grace that you have mm-hmm. to be willing to extend forgiveness and try again. But as Jill and Becky both said, you want to make sure that you're doing the work you need to do so that you're in the best position to have a healthy relationship moving forward, regardless of what your ex-husband does.
Right. We'll send you a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with Chemical Addiction or Alcohol. Substance Abuse, something like that. But that is a great book, and it'll help you, Tina, as you mm-hmm. navigate this next chapter. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to talk with Dan, who's calling us from Bloomington, Indiana, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Dan. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hello.
Hi.
I have a 12-year-old son. He recently just started getting into, I found pornography on his phone, and he's come up to me and asked me, how do I stop masturbating? And I give him scripture and talk to him about when I was young and how I got through it. But nothing seems, he keeps coming up to me saying, I just can't stop. I don't know what to do. How do I get through this? And I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to do it in a godly way without him thinking I'm just an old man.
Well, you called on a good day, Dan. Mm-hmm. We have JJ West, who is our presenter at Every Man's Battle. JJ, what would you encourage Dan with in this situation?
Hey, Dan, thanks for calling. One of the things mm-hmm. I love is the fact that your son is talking to you mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. his struggle. He's talking to you about his pornography use. He's talking to you about his desire to masturbate, as opposed to trying to keep it hidden, trying to keep it, keep a mask on. Everything's fine, Dad. I'm doing great. And he's struggling. He's talking about the struggle. That's huge. What I would suggest, he's very open. Which, and I love the fact that you've also shared your own struggles growing up, what it was like for you. That's also important, so he doesn't feel alone. He doesn't feel like he's the only one who struggles the way that he does. He's certainly not. We call it every man's battle for a reason. We all are struggling with this. It's a tremendous challenge that we face. One of the things I would encourage you to do is, as opposed to, like you said, just kind of sharing scripture like, hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't touch this, don't eat that. Mm-hmm. Instead, to open a dialogue around, okay, so one, what was your history? Like, how did you come across pornography? Did you stumble upon it? Did a friend show you? Did someone talk about it at school and then you went looking? You know, find out the history if you haven't already. And then secondly, when he's saying, hey, I'm struggling, talk about what are the things that are leading up to the struggle? What are the things that are, what are the precursors? So oftentimes it's, I'm feeling down. I'm feeling incompetent, insignificant, powerless in some way. I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling disconnected. And those are usually the things that we're trying to escape from by our compulsive or addictive behavior. So it's going to be really important for him not only to say, Dad, I want to look at porn, or I want to masturbate, but I want to stop, help me do that, is talk through what are the things that he's experiencing in his daily life that are prompting the desire to escape. More thing before we go, I know we're going to go to commercial here. Dan, one more thing I would say is make sure that you're telling him that the desires that he has are good. Like God designed it that way. He designed us to have sexual desires, that having sexual touch feels good. It's just that we've misused it. We've twisted it into something that's not good and holy.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Dan, who has a great relationship with his son, but his son is building a relationship with porn. And so Dan, I think what JJ said was so powerful and I think can be very helpful. I wanted to give Jill an opportunity to speak with you as well. Jill.
Well, Dan, I'm also impressed that your son is so open with you and that you are the one involved in talking with him. As a mom who had to talk with her son, I love it that you're involved as a dad because he really does need you. And Dan, he's 12. This isn't a small problem. A lot of times we think, oh, they're only 12, it'll get better. No, this is prime for you intervening with him. We want to send you Every Young Man's Battle, and that's something that you can sit and read with him, and it'll help.
I used to have that book when I was young, and I didn't have it anymore, and I couldn't remember where I put it, so that would be helpful.
Right, yeah, because that can be kind of a launching pad for discussions and talking about it. But I love what JJ said about intervening at the feeling level, because with any addiction, even if it were food or other things, it would be, okay, what happened right before? What were you feeling anxious about that you had to stop it, right? Because it's the running away from the feelings.
He has a lot of anxiety and self-doubt. I don't know if it's his age or whatever, but he's on medicine for his compulsiveness and stuff.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think that plays into it.
Yeah, that plays into it. And the impulsivity, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. and not being able to mm-hmm. stop. But you want to help him sit with his feelings a little bit mm-hmm. longer. Like even mm-hmm. if it's 10 seconds longer than he did the time before. It's mm-hmm. that idea of stretching his capacity to tolerate and to bear it. And you mm-hmm. are key because then he's not alone in it. And it's like, we'll bear it together. I know you're feeling anxious, but it's like the anxiety won't destroy you. It's the fear of the anxiety. It's the fear of whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that concept, too.
My father growing up didn't, I tried to talk to him about it when I was a kid, and he didn't want to talk about it. He was just like, you don't do that, all right? That's all you need to know.
Well, you're a different kind of dad.
Yes, I always wanted to be open with him, and he's always been open with me, and I think
love
that's
it.
Really helps.
So it's about sitting in it together and let him know mm-hmm. he can come to you every time he has the urge. And mm-hmm. and you guys will sit and wait for the moment to pass together. And you'll talk about the real feelings.
Let me offer one more thing. Dan, instead of waiting for your son to come to you, hey, Dad, I'm struggling with X, Y, or Z. For the next 90 days, just for the next 3 months, mm-hmm. commit to every day, have a check-in with him.
Good idea.
You go to him, hey, what was the strongest feeling that you had today? What did you do with it? How were you possibly triggered to look at pornography or masturbate? How did you respond to that trigger? And you share from your own story as well. Here's what I was feeling today. Mm-hmm. I was feeling anxious about this meeting at work. And I wanted to escape from it, but instead I sat for a few minutes, took some deep breaths, prayed, God, help me through this meeting, right? And so you're sharing how you stay in those difficult emotions. That's teaching him how to do the same.
Right. I love that. And even get a feelings chart. Mm-hmm. I know I use those in my office. I know Mylan and Kay have a feelings list in their material. But sometimes it's like all we can say is, I feel anxious. Well, anxiety is like a big ball of string. It's hard to like know what it really is about. But if they can look and see pictures and it's like, okay, name three feelings besides anxiety. So they can start to understand it better.
Right. I love that. Dan, thanks so much for being the dad of the year today.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if Jim Burns were here,
you would get a star. So
we hear from so many men who are in this struggle many years down the road. And JJ, I know you hear this at Every Man's Battle. We've got an online Every Man's Battle this Saturday, May 13th. If you want to join us and get some resolution to this issue that may have started for you back when you were 12 and you didn't have a dad to talk to about this. You know, it is a common occurrence, and we celebrate, Dan, that he is able to come to you and talk with you about that. But I love what both of you, and we'll send you that book too, Every Young Man's Battle. It really does make a difference. You know, one of the things that you may have been hearing, just recently we began a matching gift campaign. We had a group of donors who put up some seed money, $325,000, to help New Life Ministries continue the work that we're doing, to help people like our callers today and to find a new way of life. And we just want to encourage you, if you've never given before, now's the time, because every gift that you give up to that amount will be doubled, and it will make a big impact. You know, we are able to help so many people, and here's a testimony from somebody who went to our Restore workshop. My husband went to Every Man's Battle 6 months ago. He came home with a plan and a new purpose. I watched him thrive in his recovery, but I was drowning, and I didn't know where to go or how to process my recovery. The workshop was eye-opening. I felt truly encouraged and validated in my feelings for the first time since my husband's disclosure. I've been given tools to my own recovery and help keep my husband accountable and feeling supported by women around the country. Your donations help us continue to help people who are in some really difficult places in their life, to help them find their new life, find that freedom. And we just appreciate every opportunity that we have to give someone a new life. And so if you give this month up until the time that we match this, your donations will be doubled. And we just want to say thank you to those of you who've already given, and we're making our way through that matching gift campaign. Now we'll go back to the calls and help some more people. We are going to talk with Jim, who's calling us from Cincinnati, Ohio, listens on WCBX. Hi, Jim. How can we help you today?
I'm trying to deal with my stepdaughter.
Okay.
My wife passed March 26th.
Oh, so sorry.
I'm sorry.
March 20th. March 20th of this year.
Mm.
I had my moments, trust me.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, she claims that I was abusive to her mother.
Oh.
We were married 18 years, 4 months and 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a manipulator. I'm an
she
abuser.
Says, okay.
Yeah.
How old is your stepdaughter?
50 plus.
Oh, okay.
I came home the night that my wife died. And she came in and I said, "Hi, how are you?" She turns, "Don't ever F-bomb me again.
Mm.
Never speak to me again. Mm. You're an abuser. You're a manipulator. You abuse my mother. Mm. I want nothing to do with you." Okay.
Mm.
Mm. Wow.
So, now, back in 2000, my wife and I put... the house belonged to her grandfather, and we decided at that particular time, since he was getting frail, is to put the house in her name.
Mm-hmm.
So that was done legally. So now it's my house. We did a will and never filed it. Her mother said on her deathbed, according to her, that they did some FaceTime on the phone, and my wife gave her the combination to the safe, and she took the $60,000 worth of jewelry. I only took what Mom told me to take.
Hmm.
Then when my wife found out that she had liver cancer, my daughter... moved in to the hospital with her. By hook or crook, I had no idea. We had a living will for both of us. By hook or by crook, she had the hospital appoint her as medical power of attorney.
Hey, Jim.
So, yes.
Jim, the music is starting. That means we're going to a break real soon. Do you have a succinct question? I think we get the idea that it's a pretty tricky situation.
Yeah. What's the best way I can deal with this?
Okay. All right. So
I think
sorry.
She's narcissistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so hard in times of grief when there's so many other things that are complicating it. And sometimes, believe it or not, people act in really terrible ways in their grief.
Yep.
I mean, we hear about it all the time, but we still have to find a way forward. And I think we'll be able to help you get a little bit of clarity after this. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I mentioned that matching gift campaign, and I didn't tell you, you could call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you could go to newlife.com. That's an
important
piece of
that. Yeah, you got to know how to give.
Process. Right now we are speaking with Jim, who has just recently lost his wife, and it's brought up a lot of problems.
Family conflict.
With his wife's daughter. And, Jim, we'll start with Jill and then we'll go with JJ and see if we can get you some.
We were talking about this at the break. We're wondering if you have anybody in your corner supporting you.
Niece and nephew.
Okay. That's good, because you need support. We were also talking about the fact that we think that you need legal help, right? Because what people do act out in times of grief and get very clingy and hoarding. It's a way of trying to, like, hold on to the person, so things become, you know, disproportionately important, and what's mine and yours. But I think you need someone legally to look at the will, whether filed or not. If it's written down legally, they can look at that and determine what's yours, what's the daughter's, and help you sort that through so you can get untangled from that. Whatever the daughter thinks of you is immaterial when it comes down to separating things out. But also curious, is this a change in behavior for her, or has she never really cared for you in the 18 years?
Well, and she was a witness at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I have given her, my wife and I have given her everything we could possibly give her.
Okay.
Monetarily. Her inheritance from her mother's investments was $400,000.
Okay. But has she cared, has she liked you during the marriage? Like, is this just continuation, maybe escalated?
She was abused as a teenager.
Okay.
And I said, Beck, I wish I could fix you, but I can't. And I'm sorry for what you've been through. Well, she doesn't talk to me. So my niece and nephew, my nephew's a physician, and my niece decided to, they helped us through two bouts of cancer for me and my wife. And, well, they're every, and it's great friends, but they are now a threat because my niece tried to talk to her about what is legally available to me. She made she came to me before we got involved legally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jim, we know. Jim, we realize that there are so many entanglements when it gets to this level. And I think what you're saying is that while there were connections with your wife's daughter, it has never been really close. And then, you know, at the end here, it's been really complicated. JJ, what would you offer Jim as far as, you know, how does he move forward in the healing process? Oh, we can't hear JJ. Let's see.
It was profound. What
it's
he
just
said.
Yes. It's everything. I say off air is always profound.
Yes.
On air,
yes,
not so much, but off air, it's deep.
Yeah.
Jim, I would just say this: it's going to be difficult to do this, but as much as possible, you need to try to recognize that there's two categories of relating to your stepdaughter. There's the legal side, and there's the relational side. And you don't want to, as much as you can, you want to disentangle those two. And yes, you're going to need some legal help to get through the legal side, and not try to complicate it by continuing to try and have a relationship with her if she's saying, no, I don't want a relationship with you. Let that piece go, at least for now. It may be that as she grieves and heal, she may be able to come back. But you have to focus right now on your own grief.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife has only died a month ago. And so, a month and a half ago. And so you've got your own grieving to do. And I don't want that to be interrupted or distracted from by what's going on with your stepdaughter. And so, yes, you need to take care of the legal side, but maybe push pause on the relational side and work on your grieving, since she's already kind of given you the stiff arm and said, I don't want to have any relationship with you. Okay, I'm going to honor that. We'll just let the legal authorities take care of the other piece, and I'm going to focus on my grieving right now, which is what that's really right. The first order of business.
Well, and the legal stuff does have to die down before mm-hmm. you can pursue the other with where she's at. And she has a complicated history and could be projecting all kinds of things onto you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was going to say too, Jim, that was exactly what I was going to say, Jill, because it is so hard to mm-hmm. keep things, like, you cannot believe that somebody would say something about you in that regard when you're in the midst of this great loss that everyone is feeling. Mm-hmm. But that's where your support system will be important. And to not take the bait of whatever the rabbit trail is momentarily, with the stepdaughter, we're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. Mm-hmm. And I think that can help you in so many ways. But, you know, talk with either a lawyer or a legal representative about just what the details are. You know, one of the things that we talk about here all the time about recovery is it's for everybody. And especially when you think about grief and loss and the things that come up. I love what you just said, JJ, that the grief gets mixed in mm-hmm. with the things. Mm-hmm. And the things represent something other than the thing itself. Right. And when it comes down to it, we don't take anything with us. And, you know, that's where the challenge is, right? Because those who are left behind want that. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who might be similar to Jim, fresh in grief, struggling with, you know, family members that are, you know, attacking? Mm-hmm. How would you encourage them?
This too shall pass, right? Mm-hmm. This is a season of intensity, and it's really important to do your own self-care during this time and to not make any huge major pronouncements or decisions. Right. Let the dust settle.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And have healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would a healthy boundary look like, JJ?
So a healthy boundary, if someone is coming at you and attacking you while you're trying to grieve, it's okay for you to say, I'll speak with you later. Mm-hmm. We can talk next week, next month, next year. Right now, it's okay for me to have in my life the people who are supporting my grief journey. Mm-hmm. I don't have to let everybody in to the house who wants to get in. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
We get solicitors all the time that come and knock on the door. I don't have to let them in. I can say, no, thank you. Come back, you know, come back another time or never come back, right?
That's right.
But the people that I know are trustworthy, that I want in my life, I can let them in. And so when you're grieving, it's really important that you keep those healthy boundaries by not just because this other person happens to be related to me, they get free access to me. That's just not true.
That's right. That's right. And the self-care, that's self-care in and of itself.
Yep.
So boundaries and self-care all in one. We're so glad that you joined us. We've got some calls lined up for our next hour. You can continue to call 1-800-229-3000. We'll answer your call. Thank you, JJ. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, listeners. Be part of the Matching Gift Campaign. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com and make a difference in somebody's life today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.